Or at least it's the Halloween episode. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to this Halloween installment. From very high above all the sinister and plotting forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is a spooky cowboy state politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. As is tradition at Cowboy State Politics, whenever we have a holiday, we try to take a little bit of a break from politics and just sort of embrace the season. Halloween, of course, is not an actual holiday. It is, however, a day that most Wyoming citizens and nearly all little ghouls and goblins enjoy. Of course, today is not Halloween. That's tomorrow. But since this is the last episode before Halloween, we are going to take a break from politics and, participate a little bit. Before we do anything, though, I should probably mention today's program sponsors. Today's installment of Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. They're the purveyors of the finest built metal buildings in the state of Wyoming and the country, for that matter. So it doesn't matter what type of metal structure you're thinking about, give Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings a call. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. Today's program is also brought to you by New Trend Hats. If you haven't noticed, it's a little cold outside, and you definitely want to keep your ears nice and toasty warm. New Trend Hats is a Wyoming company that has a wide selection of warm hats for both men and women. Go to their website, newtrendhats.com, and get one of those before you have to go shovel the walk all week. If you happen to be in Casper this Thursday or Friday, there is one ghoulish thing that's happening with the legislature that you might want to pay attention to. The Travel, Highways, and Military Affairs Committee is holding yet another committee meeting at the Thyra Office Building Thursday and Friday. And guess what they're talking about? A fuel tax! Yeah, as if we're not paying enough in taxes and inflation. The legislature is discussing how they can jack it up some more for us. Now, I have a question surrounding this whole thing. If Wyoming has such a giant surplus and so much money in our savings, how is it that we can't afford to pay for our roads? No doubt the question of the day. The answer to it is pretty easy. It's because most of our legislators are completely stupid and they just want to take more of your money. If you don't think that's a good idea and you don't want them to do it, perhaps you should consider going to Casper Thursday and Friday and testifying in front of the committee. Trust me, I completely understand. I don't want to listen to Landon Brown any more than you do, and especially not for 2 days straight. Okay, on with the program. One of my favorite spooky authors is Edgar Allan Poe. The Black Cat, The Murders in the Rue Morgue, and of course, who could forget the Telltale Heart? But there's another one, perhaps a little less well-known, that is one of my favorites. A tale of revenge and murder so dastardly that you could hardly believe it. My friends, on this Halloween installment of Cowboy State Politics, I bring you Edgar Allan Poe's The Cask of Amontillado. Fortunato had hurt me 1,000 times, and I had suffered quietly. But then I learned he had laughed at my proud name, Montresor, the name of an old and honored family. I promised myself that I would make him pay for this, that I would have my revenge. You must not suppose, however, that I spoke of this to anyone. I would make him pay, yes, but I would act only with the greatest care. I must not suffer as a result of taking my revenge. A wrong, you see, is not made right in that manner. And also, the wrong would not be made right unless Fortunato knew that he was paying, and knew who was forcing him to pay. I gave Fortunato no cause to doubt me. I continued to smile in his face. He did not understand that I was now smiling at the thought of what I had planned for him, at the thought of my revenge. Fortunato was a strong man, a man to be feared, but he had one great weakness. He liked to drink good wine, and indeed he drank much of it. So he knew a lot about fine wines and proudly believed that he was a trained judge of them. I, too, knew old wines well, and I bought the best that I could find. And wine, I thought, wine would give me my revenge. It was almost dark one evening in the spring when I met Fortunato in the street, alone. He spoke to me more warmly than was usual, for already he had drunk more wine than was good for him. I acted pleased to see him, and I shook his hand as if he had been my closest friend. "Fortunato, how are you?" "Montresor, good evening, my friend." "My dear Fortunato, I am indeed glad that I have met you. I was just thinking of you, for I've been tasting my new wine. I've bought a full cask of a fine wine, which they tell me is Amontillado. But Amontillado, quite impossible." I know. It does not seem possible. As I could not find you, I was just going to talk to Lucrezi. If anyone understands wines, it is Lucrezi. He will tell me." "Lucrezi? He does not know one wine from another." But they say he knows as much about wines as you know." "Oh, come on, let's go." "But, Fortunato, where would we be going?" "To your vaults to taste the wine, of course." No, my friend, no. I can see that you are not well, and the vaults are cold and wet." "I do not care, Montresor. Let's go. I am well enough. The cold is nothing. Amontillado! Someone is playing games with you. And Lucrezi? Ha! Lucrezi knows nothing about wines. Nothing at all." As he spoke, Fortunato took my arm, and I allowed him to hurry me to the great stone palace where my family, the Montresors, had lived for centuries. There was no one at home. I had told the servants that they must not leave the palace, as I would not return until the following morning, and they must care for the place. This, I knew, was enough to make it certain that they would all leave as soon as my back was turned. I took down from their places, on all the walls, two brightly burning lights. I gave one of those to Fortunato and led him to a wide doorway. There we could see the stone steps going down into the darkness. Asking him to be careful, as he followed, I went down before him, down under the ground, deep under the old walls of my palace. We finally came to the bottom of the steps and stood there for a moment together. The earth which formed the floor was cold and hard. We were entering the last resting place of the dead of the Montresor family. Here, too, we kept our finest wines. Here, in the cool, dark, still air under the ground. Fortunato's step was not sure because of the wine he had been drinking. He looked uncertainly all around him, trying to see through the thick darkness which pushed in around us. Here, our brightly burning lights seemed weak indeed. But our eyes soon became used to the darkness. We could see the bones of the dead lying in large piles along the floors. The stones of the walls were wet and cold. From the long rows of bottles, which were lying on the floor among the bones, I chose one, which contained a very good wine. Since I did not have anything to open the bottle with, I struck the stone wall with it and broke off the small end. I offered the bottle to Fortunato. "Here, Fortunato, drink some of this fine Medoc. It will help to keep us warm. Drink." "Thank you, my friend. I drink to the dead who lie sleeping around us." "And I, Fortunato, I drink to your very long life." "Ah, a fine wine indeed. But the Amontillado?" "It is farther on. Come." We walked for some time. We were now under the river's bed, and the water fell in drops upon us from above. Deeper into the ground we went, past still more bones. "Your vaults are many and large. There seems to be no end to them." "We are a great family, and an old one. It is not far now, but I can see you are trembling with the cold. Come, let us go back before it is too late." "It is nothing. Let us go on. But first, another drink of your Medoc." I took up from among the bones another bottle. It was another wine of fine quality, Eau de Grave. Again, I broke off the neck of the bottle. Fortunato took it and drank all of it without stopping for breath. He laughed and threw the empty bottle over his shoulder. We went on, deeper and deeper into the earth. Finally, we arrived at a vault in which the air was so old and heavy that our lights almost died. Against three of the walls, there were piles of bones higher than our heads. From the fourth wall, someone had pulled down all of the bones, and they were spread all around us on the ground. In the middle of the wall was an opening to another vault, if I can call it that, a little room about 3 feet wide, 6 or 7 feet high, and perhaps 4 feet deep. It was hardly more than a hole in the wall. "Go on," I said. "Go in. The Amontillado is in there." Fortunato continued to go forward, uncertainly. I followed him immediately. Soon, of course, he reached the back wall. He stood there for a moment, facing the wall, surprised and wondering. In that wall, there were two heavy iron rings. A short chain was hanging from one of these, and a lock from the other. Before Fortunato could guess what was happening, I closed the lock and chained him tightly to the wall. I stepped back. "Fortunato," I said, "put your hand against the wall. You must feel how the water runs over it. Once more, I ask you, please, will you not go back?" "No. If not, then I must leave you. But first, I must do everything I can for you." But the Amontillado!" "Ah, yes, indeed. The Amontillado." As I spoke these words, I began to search among the bones, throwing them to one side. I found the stones which earlier I had taken down from the wall. Quickly, I began to build the wall again, covering the hole where Fortunato stood trembling. "Montresor, what are you doing?" I continued working. I could hear him pulling on the chain, shaking it wildly. Only a few stones remained to put in their place. "Montresor, ha ha, this is a very good joke indeed. Many times we will laugh about it. We will drink our wine together." "Of course, as we drink the Amontillado." But is it not late? Should we not be going back? They will be expecting us. Let's go." "Yes, let's go." As I said this, I lifted the last stone from the ground. "Montresor, for the love of God!" "Yes, for the love of God." I heard no answer. "Fortunato," I cried. "Fortunato!" I heard only a soft, low sound, a half cry of fear. My heart grew sick. It must have been cold. I hurried to force the last stone into position, and I put the old bones again in a pile against the wall. For half a century now, no human hand has touched them. May he rest in peace. From the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.